Open your Bibles this morning to one of my favorite books in the Word of God, Job chapter 1. Book of Job chapter 1. We continue our messages, Faith Under Fire. If you're a child of God, been saved any period of time at all, you mark it down. Your faith will come under fire at one point or another. Could be and is designed by God because all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And Job, godly man, good man, righteous man, his faith came under fire in such a horrific way. Yours and troubles and mine pale. Of course, each individual, I understand, family or individual, troubles and trials are unique to them. I understand that. I don't know of anyone, there may be, and I'm sure, I don't, you know, 10 children all of a sudden are gone. If we were going to give the title to the message today, it would be Faith When All Your Castles Tumble. Faith When All Your Castles Tumble. I'm going to read Job 1, the last three verses, actually, four verses. I'm going to start in verse 20 and read down through the chapter. We know what happened. We know what took place. And if you're not that familiar with it, please read the foregoing verses sometime today or tomorrow, whenever, and it'll help you better understand this man's situation. Verse 20, rose and rent his mantle and his head and fell down to the ground and worshiped. Now let's look. It's worship. But it's just going. It already. 22, nor charged God foolishly. Happy family, good family, and godly man. Even though there was grief, there was unshaken faith that Job had in God. You notice that he, verse 20, tore his robe, shaved his head, but then he worshiped. Ever anybody ask you what real, true worship is? What is real worship? When your total being and mind and thoughts are totally on God, He says your thought, you're consumed with the presence and the awesomeness of God. He declared his faith was still unshaken. He said, "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, question arises. Really, I've answered it in so many words, but I want to further break it down. How in the world could Job do this? I think it'd be well if we do this. Go back to verse 8 in this chapter. Of course, you know Satan and God had a conversation. Let's go back to verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down in it." Notice that walking up and down in it. He's always doing that. Constantly. All the time. And the Lord said unto Satan, verse 8, Hast thou considered my servant Job? Now look, who said this to the Satan? God. That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Hast thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, my mercy. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. By the way, you look up the Hebrew, that is not an intoxicating wine. Just thought I'd put that out there. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, there's the lightning, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, the storm, and smote the four corners of the house and fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. One, two, three, four, one right behind the other. How could Job do what he did? How could he respond the way that he did? Well, for one thing, number one, Job saw the Lord as the source of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, I said that he believed or saw that the Lord was a source of life. Parents are but partners with God in giving life. All life comes from God. All life. And Job knew the time he had with his children was by the grace of God. By the grace of God. He knew that. He was aware of that. All the good times. All the fun times. All the family together times. Prime time is family together time. Prime time is family together time. Prime time is family together time. Not one in every room and doing their own thing, but family together time. Close enough that you can hear one another smack their mouth while eating a hot dog at the picnic. Folks, you realize that we are in a day and time when there's not much family together? Everybody's going their own direction. Everybody's going here and yonder. Before you know it, Mom and Dad, they'll be gone. Been there, done that, experienced that. I'm getting old. Youngest granddaughter graduated last Monday night. Oldest, or the youngest one. Did I say the oldest one? The oldest one's already graduated. Getting old. But boy, I'm so glad, God. I prayed down these past years that God would allow me to see that. Now I wouldn't mind seeing some great-grandchildren. You know? Yeah. Why not? Say, well, you know, you got more Christmas presents to buy. That's all right. That's okay. I feel sorry for these parents, though, to say they've got 30-some grandchildren. What you do is give them a Jolly Rancher and go on. You know what I'm saying? At least you gave them something, you know. Every good and perfect gift is from God. God is the great giver. And the greatest gift, as you well know, is His Son. What a giver. What a giver. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just about, not every time, but just about every time I preach at the nursing home, I quote that verse to those people. It's fresh as a morning, the dew on a morning glory. Don't move away from it. Job saw the Lord as a source of life. Who thought that morning when Job got up that the world would fall in around him? Dark cloud would move in. Tragedy. Heart-wrenching news 4 different times. But yet, he believed God. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. And then Job saw the Lord as sovereign over the length of life. Job saw that the Lord was sovereign over the length of life. We all like to live. We all like to live every day of our lives to its fullest extent. But you know and I know, just like our next door neighbor a couple weeks ago, boom, went out into eternity early one Monday morning on her way to work. Went and talked to her mom and dad, and it was their second daughter to die. Their second one. They weren't expecting that. He said he came home and pulled up in the driveway, and there were 3 deputies' cars sitting out in his driveway, and he knew right away something was wrong. Something was wrong. He didn't think about it being personal. He thought maybe somebody had broken into his home, you know, or whatever. There was trouble back behind his house or whatever it was. And one of those men was a chaplain. He said, "Mr. Edwards, I've got some bad news for you. Your daughter is gone." We don't ever know when those things are coming. I mean, in the least expected moment, it comes and, you know, folks, listen. Let me encourage you to do something. You might think this sounds a little crazy. Pray. When that happens in your life, God will help you to react the right way. Are we going to shame Him and accuse Him, blame Him because of what's happened? I hope not. I hope not. You better do what? You don't understand it. I didn't say Job understood it. He didn't. Even though he didn't, he worshiped God. He worshiped God. The Lord giveth. He doesn't only give, He taketh away. And sometimes it's the most precious individual, it's the most precious thing in our lives. Not something we don't care about, something we don't use anymore, but the most precious. The most precious. Now it's easy to worship God. It's easy to praise the Lord when everything's going well. But what about when the chips are down and the going's rough? He's still God. He's still God. You know, life is so, you know, when death is near, the doctor says, "I'd like to talk to you in my office." You go in, you sit down, and you know that he's got a different tone in his voice, not like he normally is. They've run some tests and blood tests and whatever, and he tells you you've got a disease and you won't be here much longer. All of a sudden, you see life differently. All of a sudden, just like that, you see it a lot different. Oh, my. Folks, listen to me. It's in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 23. We're told there that our breath is in God's hands. We inhale and exhale and don't even think about it. But it's a gift from God. One day, known only to God, for some reason, He shuts it down, and that's it. Job understood that life is short at its longest. I've said this so many times, but it is so true. If you had your way and I had mine, I'd never get sick and I'd never die. Is that a true statement? Amen? True. But brother, folks, it's a truth that we may as well, we better get used, we better accept it. You know, I think when you have health, you need to praise God, thank God for it. And every day that you live and you're older and you're standing upright and breathing, you're thanking God, but there's an appointment you and I are going to keep. And we don't have to be old. We can be young. We can be middle-aged. Makes no difference. When that appointment arrives, we're out here. We're out here. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Childhood seems but yesterday to all of us. In our granddaughter's wedding, I got to tell this, Randa, there's going to be a wagon, a little red wagon. It was given to our oldest granddaughter that's getting married. How old was she? 1 year old when she got this wagon. How many times have I pulled her around in the yard? Yeah. And then along came sister, and there was the oldest granddaughter pulling the young granddaughter around in the yard. That's only a little red wagon. It's got 1,000,000 miles on it. Yeah. The flower girl and the ring bearer are riding the wagon. Is that right? Jay, the left rear tire has got a leak. You got to fix it. How do I know that? Grandpa was getting that wagon in order. It had a squeak in it. I looked and oiled. But the squeak's gone. Amen. Now, wait a minute. You could care less about a lot of that probably. But to me, childhood gone. What is your life? It's just a vapor. Birthdays comes and gone, and there they are. Of course, I'm proud. I'm glad. Pray to God would give her a good man. We believe He did. Isn't life precious? Would you believe life is precious? I do. Hallelujah. Life is precious. But it's short at its longest. You know the most important thing you and I get in on in our lives? It's the blessings of God. God's blessings. His hand in our lives, guiding us every step of the way. Knowing that He always loves us. Folks, do you realize, and I say all that to say that it's important for us to be right with God all the time. All the time. When you pillow your head every night, there ought not to be an unconfessed sin between you and God. Beat sleeping pills. This does. Don't cost you anything either. Cost him, but doesn't cost me and you anything. Job didn't understand, as I said, but his faith made him strong. Faith made him strong. And lastly, Job saw the Lord as the same no matter what happens in life. And it's true. No matter what happens, no matter what loss you take, experience, he's the same. What did he say there in the last part of verse 21? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, how could he do that after 10 of his children just died? Whew, talk about faith. Oh, yes. It's easy to bless the Lord when everything's going well. Job was able to bless God when his castles tumbled. Job didn't understand, so he spoke by faith. God had been faithful in the past. Isn't that surprising? No, it's not surprising. God is faithful in the past. Why won't he be faithful in the future? He will. He will. Why should he doubt the goodness of God now? Why should he do that? Folks, listen. God's love is unchanging. Unchanging. God's love is unchanging. Turn with me to the last chapter of Job. Verse 12. I'd like to take the time to read the whole chapter, but I will not. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Kenziah, and the name of the third Kerin-Hapuk. In all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. We get the point, don't we? He's God no matter. Your faith is going to be tested. In ways, even as we sit here, as I stand here, at this day, and we have no idea. God holds tomorrow, next month, and next year. We have no way of knowing what may happen or come or going. It makes no difference, folks. Whenever it happens, God is the same. He's God. And he's the one we need in those times more than we need anyone or anything. We need him. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Would you bow your heads with me, please? I'd like, while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, I may have been talking to someone here this morning. You're going through some fires. You're having your faith tested big time, one way or another, whatever it may be. I can mention a number of things, still might not mention your particular situation, but it matters not because, as I just said, he's the same. As a matter of fact, he knows more about your dilemma, your problem, than you do. He does. Folks, he's God. He knows all. He's loving, compassionate. We have to trust him. We have to trust him. There's a purpose for all of that. There was a purpose in Job's life. Now, sad to say, his wife didn't have the faith that he had. But in spite of it, he still blessed Job because he worshiped God and he blessed the Lord. I wonder why our heads bowed, eyes are closed. If the Lord in a certain way has spoken to your heart this morning, and by the uplifted hand, you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me." Anyone like that anywhere? I see the hands. I see the hands. Somebody else out here, or go to the choir. God bless you. Somebody else? Anyone else? Yes, God bless you, young man. Somebody else? Anyone in the choir? Lift your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Now, God asked this question. Our heads are still bowed. If there's anyone in our midst this morning that does not know the Lord, you do not have assurance in your heart you're going to heaven when you leave this life, would you allow me to pray for you? I'll not embarrass you. Just lift your preacher, pray for me. I don't know Christ. Pray for me. Anyone? Anywhere? Prayerfully and quietly with our heads bowed. Let's stand, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your empowering. Thank you for who you are. God, help us to always trust you, even though it may be hard. But some of the hardest things in life, we learn lessons through those times that help us, and we never get over. And every time we trust you through a trial, a storm in life, you mean more to us. Help us to realize even more in our hearts and minds that you are God. Lord, these that lifted their hand, God, you know the need in those lives. You know why they lifted their hands. And no one lifted their hand that I could see for salvation, but if there's anyone in this building who knows not Christ, God, Holy Spirit, convict them today. See their, oh my, what an awful, dangerous place to be in, lost without Christ, and could leave this life without him. But they don't have to if they just trust you as Savior. God bless us, invitations only you can, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, choir singing. Would you step out as they sing?
You have gone for sweet peace and for faith to reign free.